I would like to, first of all, welcome all of you here today, this morning, for the Pontifical Low Mass and the ordination to the Holy Priesthood. All are always most welcome to attend the Masses and the ceremonies here at the chapel. But I do remind you that in order to receive Holy Communion, one must believe and profess all the dogmatic and moral teachings of the Church, especially in regard to holy purity and marriage. One must be in the state of sanctifying grace to receive Holy Communion. One must attend the traditional Latin Mass regularly and exclusively. And by that I mean one may not attend the new Mass in the local parishes, nor the so-called indult Mass. And finally, one must be fasting from food and alcohol for 3 hours and liquids for 1 hour. Water, however, does not break the fast. Again, I welcome you to St. Pius V Chapel for the Mass and the ceremonies this morning. Now, the epistle appointed to be read for the feast of St. Pius X is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Brethren, we had confidence in our God to preach to you the gospel of God amid much anxiety, for our exhortation was not from error, nor from impure motives, nor from guile, but as approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not as pleasing men, but God who proves our hearts. For in no time have we used words of flattery, as you know, nor any pretext for avarice. God is witness, nor have we sought glory from men, neither from you nor from others. Although as the apostles of Christ we could have claimed a position of honor among you, still, while in your midst we were as children, as if a nurse were cherishing her own children. So we in our love for you would gladly have imparted to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you had become most dear to us. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. At that time Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me more than these do?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me?" He said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, dost thou love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him, "For the third time, dost thou love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." These words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, as many of you know, in the past, the ordinations to the priesthood at St. Pius were done in the spring on Easter Wednesday. That is to say, the Wednesday after Easter. It was about a year ago I discussed the date of the priestly ordinations with Bishop Kelly and suggested that the time of the priestly ordinations be changed for a number of reasons. And among the reasons to be considered for such a change was the difficulty in having an ordination immediately after the beautiful but lengthy ceremonies of Holy Week. This was actually brought to my attention by the priests. I suggested the change to Bishop Kelly, and he readily agreed. Hence, the ordination is today, the great feast of St. Pius X, who was great in many ways. St. Pius X was kind and courageous. He was a true defender of the Church. And how appropriate it is that we ordain a priest on his feast day. I say this because our episcopal and priestly orders are derived from Pope St. Pius X. By this I mean that Pope St. Pius X consecrated Pope Benedict XV, who consecrated Pope Pius XII. Pope Pius XII consecrated Cardinal Francis Spellman, who consecrated Bishop Alfred Mendez. And Bishop Alfred Mendez consecrated Bishop Clarence Kelly on October 19, 1993. Furthermore, it was Bishop Mendez who had already ordained Father Paul Baumberger and Father Joseph Greenwell on this very day, September 3rd, in 1990. After insisting that the then Father Kelly assume personal responsibility for these two priests as a condition of their ordinations. You see, Bishop Mendez understood that you could not just ordain priests and send them out on their own. I myself was present at their ordinations. They were the first priestly ordinations I had ever attended. And at that time, I never would have thought that 18 years later, I would be ordaining a priest on this great feast of St. Pius X. We are thus profoundly grateful to Bishop Mendez for his love of the Church and his great and heroic generosity to us. Because of Bishop Mendez and his decision to consecrate a bishop, we have a future full of hope and a seminary that will provide priests for you, your children, and your grandchildren. Now, St. Pius X was Pope from 1903 to 1914. Was canonized by Pope Pius XII on May 29, 1954. Shortly after his election, St. Pius X publicly declared that he would dedicate the whole of his pontificate to the principle whereby he would seek to restore all things in Christ. And he did this in a very practical way. He encouraged frequent and even daily communion. He restored the beautiful Gregorian chant to its rightful place in the Mass. And he commanded Father Matteo Crawley, who was the 20th century apostle of the Sacred Heart, to spread that great devotion throughout the whole world. But we know the greatest act of Pope St. Pius X was his unswerving and holy condemnation of the heresy of modernism, a heresy which he called the most destructive heresy in the history of the Church. This is a heresy so evil in its nature and so horrific in its consequences that it has been responsible for the ruination of tens of millions of souls. What a blessing for the church then and now that we had Pope St. Pius X. But what many Catholics do not know is that the church almost did not have St. Pius X. You see, as a young man, St. Pius X, whose name was Joseph Sarto, almost abandoned his pursuit of the priesthood. The future pope and saint was born in 1835 of a very poor Italian family. As a young man, Joseph Sarto believed that God was calling him to the priesthood. But because of the extreme poverty of the family, it would be very difficult to provide for his priestly education. But his mother, the saintly Margherita Sarto, realized that her son's vocation to the priesthood, like all vocations to the priesthood, was a divine calling. And because she understood this, she resolved to make whatever sacrifices were necessary so that her son would fulfill God's will for him. And thus, Joseph Sarto began his studies for the priesthood. Each day he would go to the parish priest for lessons in Latin grammar. He would then walk 1 hour to the neighboring town of Castelfranco to attend the school. And when his preparatory studies were completed, he entered the major seminary at Padua. By the grace of God and his hard work, the young Joseph Sarto was not only accepted as a seminarian, but he was also given a full scholarship to the seminary. It was the answer to many prayers and sacrifices on the part of his mother, Margherita Sarto, who was her son's greatest support in answering the call to serve Christ and his church. But during his second year of studies, the young Joseph Sarto received the news of his father's sudden death. He returned home for the Requiem Mass and the burial. And after the burial, Joseph Sarto told his mother that he was not going to return to the seminary. He said, "Mother, I will now lay aside my studies so that I can help you with the upbringing and the care of my brothers and sisters." But his dear and holy mother would have none of this. "You foolish boy," she said. "You foolish boy, have you forgotten that God has called you?" "No," she said. "You will continue your studies for the priesthood, and that is that." Joseph Sarto returned to the seminary. And 6 years later, September the 18th, in the year 1858, he was ordained a priest. And the following day, he offered his first solemn high mass in the presence of his mother. And as she watched her son at the altar that morning, with joy in her heart and tears in her eyes, she thanked God that His holy will, which she had prayed, worked, and sacrificed for so much, was now accomplished. My dear friends, just a few moments ago, Matthew Newman was ordained to the holy priesthood. He is now Father Matthew Newman, a priest of Jesus Christ, and such he shall remain for all eternity. When just a short while ago I laid my hands upon his head, and then in the preface of the rite of ordination, I spoke those solemn words that constitute the form of the sacrament, he became a priest. And when that happened, there was impressed upon his soul the indelible character of the priesthood, by which he was now configured to Jesus Christ, the great high priest. This morning his soul was changed, and it shall remain changed for all eternity. By his ordination, he has received an increase of sanctifying grace. He has received special sacramental graces to enable him to fulfill his duties as a priest. And he has received, as I have just said, an indelible spiritual mark upon his soul, whereby his soul is now configured to Jesus Christ himself. If we could see his soul now, we would see imprinted thereon the very image of the eternal Son of God made man, who at the moment of his incarnation became our great high priest, in virtue of what we call the hypostatic union. In other words, when the eternal Son of God united to himself a created human nature, he became a priest. And it is his priesthood that Father Matthew Newman now shares. Because of this, we can say that his dignity as a Catholic priest is without measure. For the dignity of the Catholic priesthood is infinite. It is infinite because it is not a priesthood different from the priesthood of Christ. It's the same Catholic priesthood. It is truly beyond our comprehension to really grasp such a thing. It fills us with awe just to contemplate the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ deigned to choose mere men to be his priests. He deigned to choose mere men to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to forgive sins, to teach, govern, and sanctify the faithful. He has chosen mere men to feed his lambs, as it were, through the holy priesthood which he has bestowed upon men. He has called mere men to a most lofty and sublime state. You know, the very word vocation is derived from the Latin word vocare, which means to call. And thus does he call men to share in his priesthood, to offer his sacrifice on Calvary, to forgive the sins of men and administer the sacraments. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls young men to follow him to the altar. And the saintly mother of Pope St. Pius X truly understood this divine calling. And thus she worked and she struggled and made great sacrifices to enable her son to answer God's holy call. In the midst of a great poverty, a poverty beyond the comprehension of anyone here, she would not have her son, whose help she certainly was in dire need of, abandon his divine calling. And if she had not made such sacrifices, the church would not have had St. Pius X. This is the greatness of a mother who fosters vocations. How grateful we should be to Margarita Sarto. If it were not for her unselfishness, where would we be today? In this age of modernism and apostasy, without St. Pius X. Some of you may remember that about 5 years ago, the then Matthew Newman met a great obstacle of his own in pursuit of the priesthood. He was involved in an accident which left him somewhat crippled with a broken neck. And it seemed that he would have to leave the seminary. But he did not want to leave. He implored us to allow him to stay. And his courageous dedication to his vocation moved Bishop Kelly to permit such a thing. His family also acceded to this extraordinary request. It was very difficult for his family, for his grandparents, his father, and especially for his mother. You know, there is something in the heart of a mother that is perhaps found nowhere else to such a degree, save in the Sacred Heart of Christ Himself. And so, as difficult as it was, and it was not an easy thing to do, his mother agreed to his request to recuperate at the seminary after his very serious neck surgery and proceed with his studies. His father and grandfather came and stayed at the seminary to attend him 24 hours a day. And I have to tell you, if his mother were permitted to do so, she would have been there as well. And in time, he recovered. He recovered very rapidly. And as you see, he is a priest today. We are so grateful to his mother and his father, and to the mothers and the fathers of all our priests who have offered their sons to the service of Christ and his holy church. This morning, Father Newman will perform his first priestly function. At this very Mass today, he will kneel in the sanctuary here, and assisted by another priest, he will offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass with me. That is why at the ordination Mass of a priest, the bishop says all the parts of the Mass out loud from the offertory on. This is to facilitate the young priest who will actually offer the Mass with the ordaining bishop as the Church requires. Thus, the ordaining bishop and the newly ordained offer the Mass together. Even the words of consecration are said aloud, whereby the bread is changed into the body and the wine into the blood of Christ. This Father Newman and I will do at this very Mass this morning. And tomorrow, Father Matthew Newman will offer his first solemn High Mass here at St. Pius V Chapel. My dear friends, the ordination of a priest is truly wondrous and inspiring. It inspires us to be grateful to God for the blessing of another priest who will offer the true Mass, administer the true sacraments, and preach the one true faith. But the ordination of a priest also reminds us of our duty to encourage vocations. It is sad but true that so many young men who have been called by Christ have failed to fulfill their divine vocations. And it's because of lay people, family members, and even clergy. How terrible must be the punishment for those who are gravely negligent in their failure to encourage vocations, or who, God forbid, even discourage vocations to the holy priesthood. We must never forget, my dear friends, that without priests, there is no Holy Eucharist. There is no sacrament of penance. But without vocations, there are no priests. Without vocations, there are no priests. Do your Catholic duty and encourage vocations by word, by prayer, and by sacrifices. And as I have said before, and I will say it again, the future of your chapels is at Immaculate Heart Seminary in Round Top, New York. I pray that our Catholic parents foster and encourage vocations in their homes. And may all of us pray and sacrifice for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And finally, we pray that the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of the Clergy, that she obtained for us holy and dedicated priests who will feed the lambs redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, and give us many, many religious who will win God's favor and blessings for us all. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.